Vaya Ekev Tishmun. So the commentaries comment on what's the language of Ekev. Very strange use some translate that Targum Unklis says Ekev means Vaya Ekev means for in place of Chalaf, because you kept my mitzvahs, then Hashem will guard for you His bris and His chesed. Rashi quotes that there is these are mitzvahs that Adam dash ba'akeva. Rashi says that there are, this is speaking about if a person keeps the mitzvahs that people trample upon. So the obvious question is, what kind of mitzvahs do people trample upon? What is the significance of that? I remember seeing one of the commentaries says, Hoya Ekev Tishmun, the end is going to be you're all going to listen anyway. So why don't you just do it now? Vahaya Ekev Tishmun, the joy, Vahaya is a language of joy. Vahaya Ekev Tishmun, the end will be that you're going to end up listening. So you might as well stop fighting it and do it now. I was talking to a lawyer on Friday. So he told me that he found a very fascinating comment by Rabbi Yankiv Emdin. There's a very well-known Chazal that say, Dashna na Pasuk, we say it in a Volitzian, the language of Chazal is that if there's three generations of Torah learning, then lo yamishu, that the Torah will never cease from that family. So Rabbi Yankiv Emdin says that history shows otherwise. But there are plenty of places where there were Torah scholars for three generations and yet Torah ceased to exist. But the point is that it may temporarily cease to exist, but it will... Torah magzeres alachsan yishalah, he says the Torah will return to its host, meaning even if they depart from Torah, they will come back anyway. That's v'haya ekev tishmon. The bottom line is going to be, stop fighting it, because you're going to have to keep it anyway in the long run. Okay, so what I want to share with you today is a comment by the Agra Dekal. If we have time, I'll share with you what I said at Shal Shudis yesterday also, which was I thought was interesting. But the Agra Dekal addresses the ultimate put-down of our times. The ultimate put-down is that our generation is referred to by Chazal, both in the Gemara and even more so in the works of the Arizal, as Ikvisa de Meshicha. That's what our times are called. Ikvisa de Meshicha means the heel of Mashiach, the Ekev. The Arizal explains a very interesting concept which is scientifically sound, and that is that all of us have some spiritual DNA from other Marishan. All of us have some physical DNA from other Marishan as well. But that those neshamas were all included, they were all part of other Marishan, only that generationally the souls were split up according to the koima of Adam, the stature of Adam. So there were generations that corresponded to the head of other Marishan, the eyes of other Marishan, the heart of other Marishan. Until it worked all the way down into history, till our times, and our neshamas are the heels of Adam Arishan. Now, that really is not very flattering, especially for people who have heel spurs. That's not very flattering that we're of the generation of the heel. However, I'll tell you an interesting incident that happened the first time my great-uncle, the Bov Rav, went to Eretz Yisrael after the war. So the Brisker Rav was still alive. The Brisker Rav was a towering, towering figure and a major misnagid at that. Bov Rav, comparatively, was a very young man. And they set up a visit for him to go visit him. And they came in, and he really did not... He was a massive Talmud Chacham and a big masmid, and he viewed most of the Rebbes as being a waste of his time. So when he was there during this visit, he said, I want to share with you a vort from Remendel of Rimenev. The Bov Rav said to the Brisker Rav. He said, I want to share with you this thought from Remendel of Rimenev. and he shared with him this concept that our generation is called Ikvus HaDeMashiach. So Mendel Rebbe never said, true. But we have to remember that the entire structure, the head and the eyes and the heart and all the glorious neshamas of the past can only stand upright if the heel is intact. If the heel falls, the entire structure falls. So we may be called Ikvus HaDeMashiach, but we have to remember that the entire structure, the Avis and the Nevi'im and the Tanoim and Amiroim and all the Gedolei Le'olam, all those generations stand on our neshamas. So the Brisker Rav got so excited with this that uncharacteristically he walked the Bov Rav out to his car, stopped at the car and said, Zok Menachem Odem Vot. Repeat to me the vote. Because generally we view this as being a terrible put down, that we are, you know, we're so low, we are Ikvus HaDeMashiach. So here, the Brisker Rav transformed it into the Remed Lerimitov transformed this into a huge responsibility. But let's talk about some of the side effects. What does it mean when we're talking about Ikvus HaDeMashiach? Well, one of the realities of the heel, and again, they're referred to this way throughout the works of Chazal, is that heels really don't have a whole lot of feeling in their skin. It's very rough. It's a very rough part of the body. And as a result, the Agra de Kala was written by the Bnei Yisrael Schor Reb Tzvi Elimelech of Dinev, one of the classic Chassidish Sforim, but the Bnei Yisrael Schor was authored on the months of the year. The Agra de Kala is his commentary on Chumash. So he says that these neshamas of Ikvus HaDeMashiach suffer with the following symptoms. That we don't enjoy the sweetness, the delight of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mitzvahs or in learning or in davening. Our feelings are dull. Very difficult to relate. We have a hard time getting into it. Conversely, what is appealing, says the Agra de Kala, is all of the attractive desires and appetites that the street shows us. Those are far more appealing and far more attractive to us. Those are the symptoms of Ikvus HaDeMashiach. So the Rebbe Shlom set us up. I mean, it is, you know, written 150 years ago, and there could not be a more accurate depiction of what our generation suffers. Says the Agra de Kala, what are we supposed to do? It seems like we're facing an impossible situation. If at least Torah and mitzvahs would be equally appealing, so you can have an equal battle. But here you have the desires and the appetites of the street are very alluring and very attractive. And Torah and mitzvahs, he says, we have to force ourselves to perform them, to keep them, and to keep Torah and mitzvahs takes so much energy and so much effort, where what the street has to offer is so much more attractive. Says the Agra de Kala, and in the footnotes here they quote that this really stems from the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is a far more ancient text, several hundred years before that, that the Chachmei HaEmes, the Kabbalists say, that the way for a person to overcome passion and desire is with the following logic, that each of us has embedded within us a Ahava Misuteris, a concealed inborn love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is we don't feel it. Right? We're not aware of this natural inborn love. When does it come out? It comes out, Rahmana Litzlan, at times of Shmad. At times when the nations wish to force us to convert. So at that time, even people who have no explicit, open love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu find themselves without any problem subjecting themselves to torture and to death. The Rabbi Yaakov Yaivitz, who lived during the Spanish Inquisition, records numerous instances of people who readily and willingly went to their deaths in the cemetery in Krakow. Were you there in the cemetery in Krakow? Did you see the grave of Moshe HaGanif HaKadosh? One of the graves there is of Moshe the Holy Ganif. Moshe was a career thief. Only thing is that he made a mistake and he robbed the church. So they caught him and they put up a huge fire, and they gathered the townspeople and they gave Moshe the option of converting. He robbed the church. They had a lot of money in the church. He robbed the church and they caught him.
They're big on the push thingy around.
So they offered him the option that they would let him go if he would convert to Christianity. So Moshe stood at the edge of the fire, and his words are written, recorded in many places. Moshe said, "Aganav binach, aba ayid binachoch. It's true, I'm a thief, but I'm a Jew as well. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And he jumped into this flame. He was buried in the cemetery in Krakow, and the inscription on his monument is Haganef HaKadosh, the Holy Ganef Moshe. So that's the lot of the Jew, that his whole life he was a Ganef. But when it came to the moment of when push came to shove, so then that concealed love came out. Now, what's the logic? The logic is, says the Agudat Kabbala, that a person is supposed to use the following thought process. Say to himself like this: if I were subjected to torture, chas v'sholom, or death, for God's sake, I would have no question about the fact that I would give my life. That being the case, is it not logical that for whatever this temporary, momentary pleasure would be, that I should be able to overcome this temptation? Now, the Baal Tanya, when he records the same concept, it's in chapter 25, adds to it a caveat, which is very interesting. He says, why is it that a Jew would go to their death rather than to convert? The reason is because we recognize that to convert out of the faith would cut us off from our source. Right? That it would be a permanent cutoff from our shorish. Why don't we have the same reaction to any other avera? Why is it that only when it comes to conversion that the Jew has that reaction? He says that's nothing but atzas hayetzer. The fact is that when a person commits a wrongdoing, they cut themselves off from their source. For sure, it's not to the same degree as when a person converts, but the fact that a person is not connected to their shorish when they are doing an avera is equally true. So what happens? He says, this is the logic that Chazal tell us, Ein Adam Oiver Avera, Elim Kein Nichnas by Ruach Shtus, that no person commits an Avera unless they're overcome by temporary insanity. What's the insanity? The insanity is the logical crookedness of making a distinction between converting and any other Avera. That's insanity. Splitting hairs and saying, okay, if I do A, B, and C, that's not so bad. I'm still connected. But if I convert out, that's the end. That's insanity. That's nothing but the Eitzah of the Eitzahara, who wants to blind us into thinking that there's a distinction between the two. Says the Agudat Kabbala that the Eitzah, the advice that we need to use in a generation when we've lost our feeling, in Ikvasa de Meshicha, the way a person is to battle the Eitzahara is by using this logical methodology of saying, if I would go as far as allowing myself to be tortured or to be killed for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is such, obviously, such a massive, major thing, doesn't it make sense that I should be able to overcome this relatively small desire, this whatever appetite, whatever attraction it is that I'm going through now? Shouldn't, if I can survive that, I can certainly overcome this. As Zev Chassidim says again, that when a person has a hisgabrus hayetzer, either to transgress or not to fulfill a mitzvah, they should conjure up these images, and the person will have that will give the person the ability to be able to overcome their evil inclination. It awakens, it arouses within the person that natural concealed love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, the Agudat Kala adds, that that's why there's a mitzvah to read the Shema twice a day, once in the morning and once at night, because as the Shalom HaKadosh brings, and it's brought in the Bach and Shulchan Aruch, that when a person says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that a person, when they say the word Echad, should have this image in front of their eyes, that our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so strong that if we were forced to violate His will at the cost of our lives, that we would give our lives. Says the Agudat Kala, that's why Hashem has us reading Shema once in the morning, the beginning of the day, and once at night, at the beginning of the night, in order to launch our day with this perspective that this concealed love that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute, and as a result, it would give us the energy to be able to overcome anything which would come upon us during the day or the following night. So, if you take a look at the Pasuk now, in 980, the opening Pasuk of this week's Parsha, says the Agudat Kala, V'haya Ekev, it will come in the times of Ikvus de Mashiach, in the times, the last generation before Mashiach, when people have no feeling, no passion for their Yiddishkeit, no enjoyment in their mitzvah performance. How does a person overcome? So he turns the word Shema into a verb. Tishma'un, Shema'it. Go ahead and zap it with the Shema. Tishma'un, es ha-mishpotim ha-eila. Zap it with the Shema. And imagine, he says, mishpatim refers as another language for yisurim, for torture. The result will be ushmartem ba'asisem ha'isam. The result will be that you'll have the energy, the power to overcome one's evil inclination, and you'll be able to observe the mitzvahs. It concludes that this is the result of es ha'bris ves ha'chesed asher nishba la'visecha. It's the result of the covenant that Hashem embedded within us, which is the lot of the inheritance of our forefathers, and that's what we are able to connect into when we shema, to use it as a verb, when we're able to zap our desires and our temptations with the shema. The result is that we're able to awake within ourselves that which was promised to our forefathers, referring to the inheritance of the Shema, that which is the concealed love of the Jew.
Coarser, that you can get with your heel, you can step on thorns, you can step on all kinds of stuff, and you can make it your way through with a heel. If a person had to go on all these kind of things and this kind of inclement situation
with their heart,
with a head, he wouldn't be able to navigate through life. So the heel, dafka, because it is what it is able to take us through such rough times and such rough challenges. So the head wouldn't work for our times. It has to dafka be the heel. So there is some good news about that word.
lack of feeling. All right, go back to page 4 now. Page 4. Where is it here? Pasuk 9. Yikavu hamayim asher mitachas hashamayim al mokem echad. The waters beneath the heaven should gather to one place. Let me get the color. Was here. Tzadik Vav. So he says as follows. Chaim Vital writes that Mayim, water, is the source of all desire. Mayim is Matzmiach Kol Mine Tanugim. Mayim, water, causes all pleasure to grow. Okay, so water throughout Sefer Kodesh is referred to as passion, desire, appetite. So he says, what does a person do if he's overcome by desire, by passion? Is yikavu hamayim lemokem echad. As we just quoted from the Shlach Kodesh, when one says the word echad by Shema, that's when a person should have in mind this concept that we would give our lives for Hashem's sake. So he says, Yikavu hamayim l'mokim echad. If a person is overcome by all kinds of passion and desire, gather them all in l'mokim echad. Gather them all in to the place of echad, to the time when a person says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'seiroi yabosh, and then the person will be on dry land again. That's his etzah is gather it all in, l'makim echad. Again, he mentions that that's the purpose of reading the Shema twice a day, is so that the person has the energy to be able to have this battle with one's appetites. All right, so that's one.